working power of the Holy Spirit from all of our sins, past, present, and to come, and the curses of sin in our hearts, in our mind, in our bodies, and around us. We acknowledge that Jesus alone is Lord over all. Lord, may you forgive us our every trespass, known and unknown to us. And may you save us from every suffering thereof within and without, for you are able and have the might and power to speak, and it is done to command, and all things in the universe obey. We believe that you have borne our sins and all the suffering thereof, that by your own precious blood, atoning us, we can be healed, restored, and transformed. I pray that the Holy Spirit, who really called us all to come to this house of worship, mightily come like a mighty rushing wind upon the humble, the meek, the poor in spirit, and those who are afflicted spiritually, mentally, physically, socially, emotionally, academically, financially, politically, and legally. You know about all of our affliction and the desire to be healed from the inside out. Lord, may you move mightily and heal us all from the inside out according to your holy and blessed will, knowing that all things that had happened, is happening, and will happen, trusting you over all, shall work together for our good today and tomorrow. For every name that was mentioned before you, through all of my blessed brothers and sisters here, every name that was mentioned, you know about them. You know about their needs. You know about their hurts. You know about their fears. You know about their trials and troubles, past and present, and those to come. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit groan and intercede on their behalf as it is on our behalf. May you take over their heart and mind and soul, their love, will, life, and purpose, and the reins of their lives. And may you protect them and defend them and deliver them and save them from sin within and without, from themselves, from Satan's snares, oppression and position, the world of destruction, and from eternal death. Lord, may our faith and trust in the name of Jesus through the groaning of the Holy Spirit become sight today. Give us enough evidence to know that you are our God and you heard our cries and answered them. And withhold enough evidence that we may never become proud and self-sufficient, trusting in ourselves or looking at you in any wrong light. I pray that you speak to our heart more about the power of prayer and show us through the life of Esther the Queen and Mordecai and the people of God how their afflictions for some time ended in glorious joy and victory, and how it brought glory and honor to your name, to the Jews and also to the heathens. And may all things that happened to us in the past, because of our decisions or the decisions of others, and may all things that are happening today and tomorrow bring glory and honor and praise to your own name in our lives and through us, to touch the life of great many on this earth. And may you secure our salvation and life eternal. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let us open our Bibles to the book of Esther. And let me give you just a short review of where we have finished last week and where we're going today. We have seen the most dreadful decision being made by someone who hated the people of God. Someone who hated Mordecai and someone who hated the Jews just for being Jews. But the hatred
of Haman toward Mordecai was not just because he was a Jew. Mordecai, after Esther became a queen, was elected by the king to serve at the gate of the palace. Haman used his own slying way and deceptive ways and means to convince the king to promote him to a high place of honor. And so did the king. And Haman became someone important. And everywhere he went, to every province and every city, people would bow down to Haman as someone who is so honored by the king. But there is one who did not bow down to Haman.
Mordecai.
And the reason he did not bow to Haman, because he was devoted to the commandments of God, knowing that we bow only to our God and our Creator and not to another man. So the reason Haman did not bow, Mordecai did not bow to Haman, not because he hated Haman and not because he was arrogant and proud. It is because he believed that in bowing, in humble adoration to God, it is God alone who is worthy of our worship and our praise and our penitence. And the Lord made his promise to his people of old in the book of Deuteronomy that if they keep the commandments of God and do his will divine, he said he will fight their every battle, and he will make them the head and not the tail, and he will satisfy their every need, and he will destroy their enemies before them. And Mordecai believed that and taught Esther the same, that faith in God alone will bring us security, will bring us health and well-being, will deliver us from every evil snare, something many Christians are struggling with today. As I shared in Bible study yesterday, the Bible tells us so truthfully that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the beginning of all creation, and he is eternity. He was the one who have decided to place us into our mother's womb and give us a beginning with him. And at the end of our journey, we will also stand up before him. So here is the key to a blessed journey on earth. We're all sinners, aren't we? We are not perfect. We have struggled with sins for many years. We struggle with sin today. We continue to struggle with sin tomorrow. It is true, with all my heart, I believe that Jesus is our sin bearer. And he has suffered every consequences for our sins, past, present, and to come. There is no other name under heaven in which we can be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. Because he is not just our Savior, but he also has the authority to heal us from the curses of sin, past, present, and to come. That curse is present. And many of us are afflicted of it, perhaps because of our sins, but mostly because of the sins of the world. You can just walk to the store and pick up a germ, a cold virus, from someone else who just happened to breathe close to you. You can go and visit someone in the hospital and pick up a deadly disease. Sin on earth. But you know, when you are covered by the blood of the Lamb and sheltered by the God of the universe, and when Jesus is Lord over all, you walk every day by faith and not by sight. You walk in love and not by fears. Because God made his promise clear, that if we come to him and turn all of our burdens to him and surrender our heart and mind and soul daily as struggling sinners, he will do everything for us that we can never do for ourselves. And Mordecai and Esther believed that, and now we know what happened. Haman used his position with the king to terminate Mordecai because he is not bowing to him. The life of Mordecai exposed the pride of Haman that was so toxic and poisonous. Haman had the opportunity to become a humble man, but he chose not to, and he went further. You see, when pride conceives, and it grows in us, it brings about destruction of ourselves and others. And so Haman went to the king and told the king that there is this group of people who are Jews, who have their own tradition, their own laws, which is against the laws of Media and Persia. And if we allow them to live, they are encouraging others not to pay tribute or honor and respect to you, O king. And the king was deceived because he did not have the Holy Spirit in him. And he said, Haman, what should we do? And we know what the king, what Haman said. We're going to have a decree sealed by the seal of the king. That on a certain day, in a certain month, we will terminate all the Jews in the province. And the person who will be doing this will receive lots of money. And the king agreed. You wonder what happened to that king. He agreed. And the decree was sealed, and Mordecai heard about it, and he began to wail and weep before the Lord for the destruction that is to come. Now, if you were told that death is imminent upon you, how would you feel?
I think it's part of my time.
You know, I read a story about a teacher. During the classes, her heart will race like crazy. And she would sweat. And the kids would ask, and other teachers would ask, and eventually she disclosed to them and others that she has a tumor of the breast and she's going to be dying of cancer.
Wow.
Fear has torment. And you know, other people said, we are praying for you. Did you go and see a doctor yet? And she said, I'm afraid to see a doctor.
Wow.
And so the people encouraged her, we're praying for you, go and see a doctor. And she went to see the doctor, and the doctor did the x-rays and everything and all the tests and the blood tests and came back and told her, you know, you have no tumors.
See?
And you have no cancer.
What?
But she lived with all of the thoughts that because some family members had it down the road, she also have it. And when she touched herself and recognized there is something there that is unusual, she began to be consumed by her own fears.
Oh my goodness.
It is that experience that gave her the jump start to believe in Jesus.
Oh, wow.
Affliction work for us an external weight of glory. For we look not at the things that are seen, that the doctors and the medicine and other people say, but at the things that are not seen. The things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Here, the death penalty was signed for all the people of Israel, including Mordecai and Esther. And we read last week that Mordecai prayed and wept and sent a message to Esther, you got to go and appear before the king. Because this is the news that we don't know. Esther didn't know about it. And when the man came and gave the message to Esther, Esther was a devout believer in Jesus. However, she was also a human being. And her fear for her own life caused her to second guess what Mordecai asked. And she sent a messenger back to Mordecai. Do you know what you're asking me to do? No one can appear before the king unless the king asks him to come. And those who appear just like that before the king, and the king do not give them the favor, they are dead. He killed them right away. And Mordecai, please remember that for 30 days, the king did not even ask for me to come. If I go before him, I will die. Legitimate fear. Isn't it? Legitimate fear.
But she's going to die anyway.
And Mordecai answered her back, and he told her, Esther, don't think that when that day comes, you will be spared because you are living inside the palace. This death penalty is also for you and all the Jews in the province. And then he concluded by saying, maybe for such a time, God called you to that place. If you have conflict, if you have affliction, if you have troubles in your life today, God knows about it so well. where it came from, why it came, where is it, it is going. It is all about God manifesting His glory in your lives today. And Esther got the message, and immediately she did what all of us have been encouraged to do throughout our Christian history. She sent the message back to Mordecai. And he said, Mordecai, I got your message. Now, I need you to tell all the Jews to declare 3 days of prayer and fasting.
Yes.
For me, and I and all of my maiden inside will also fast and pray for 3 days for the salvation of the Lord. And then she told him this, then I will appear before the king. If I perish, I perish. And that's exactly the words that Paul said. If I live, I live unto the Lord. If I die, it is gain. Therefore, whether I live or I die, it's unto the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, it is a statement my mother just told me about 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Her heart is not functioning properly, and medicine sometimes help, other time hurts. And I just spoke with her on the phone, and finally the doctor changed her medicine. She is feeling better again. Mm-hmm. And then she said, you know what, when are you going to come and see me? My days are almost numbered. And I say, Mom, you know, you're alive now, aren't you? You're talking with me. Why don't we talk about life? Because babies die. Teens die. Men, women die of all ages, not just those who are sick. It is appointed for everyone. If Jesus didn't come, it's appointed for us someday to rest in peace with the hope of that resurrection. But if we are alive, let us live it to the Lord. Maybe a glorious experience is in the making, and we are hindering it by our doom and lack of faith. I have visited a young man about 4 weeks ago in the hospital who was 22 years old. And I said, what brought you to the hospital? He said, I have a mass on my brain. And I said, what is the latest? Well, the doctors have decided to just wait again and give me another CAT scan just to make sure exactly how to go about this problem. I asked him if he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, yes, he does. And he goes to a church in Livermore. He said, I just began to walk about a year and a half, 2 years with the Lord, and suddenly this thing happened. I said, do you believe that really God created every intricate part of your body and mind, which is so marvelous, and He is able to do things you and I can never do, neither can doctors? He said, I believe so. He said, well, shall we pray together? He said, yes, please, let us pray together. And we pray together. I don't often say that in prayer, but I yield myself to the Holy Spirit. And I am reminded that as I was praying, the Holy Spirit uttered this, that Lord, may that kind of sickness bring glory to your name into the medical community before it is to the patient. And I mentioned his name. May he experience, may that experience work a sign and a wonder to cause the medical community to recognize that you are God and there is none other. And you know, I left to the next patient, and I came the next week, everything, new patients all the time. And then 2 weeks later, I go to Eden Hospital, and the young man is there again, but in a different room. I recognize his face, and I said, aren't you so? And so he said, yes. I said, what happened? They moved you from the room? I haven't seen you the last couple of weeks. He said, no, Pastor, I'm glad you came. When they took another CAT scan, the mass was gone. They marveled. They don't know what happened. They didn't give him any medicine. He said, but the doctor said there is just a little bleeding in the brain. Wow. We don't even have to do surgery. We're going to give you just medicine to see if it can repair it through time.
Wow.
He said, and I took the medicine. I was doing very fine till I ran out of medicine. And I went to another place to get more of the medicine. They give me the wrong medicine, and that's why I'm back here at Eden.
Oh.
So the devil is restless, isn't it?
Yes, he is.
He's trying to corrupt the plan and the power of God working on our behalf. And so was the case here with Mordecai and Esther and Haman. So Esther decided she is going to go. And after 3 days of prayer and fasting, there's something always amazing about 3 days of prayer and fasting, and 7 days of prayer and fasting, and 40 days of prayer and fasting.
Yes.
Now, it is not a requirement for you to receive a miracle or an answer of prayer that you do that. But remember, this is the poverty of spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. They are saying, our lives are going to be wasted, Lord. And everyone believes that life is consistent of food and water. We don't believe that. We believe that you are the God of life that can sustain. Therefore, we're going to stop eating. We're going to continue in prayer, trusting you alone to reverse all things and to sustain us in the same time. That's what fasting and praying for. That's what fasting and praying for. God is life, not food and not water. So if you can do it for a day, God bless you. If you can do it for 2 days, God will bless you. 3 days, the more you do it, the more you're blessed. But it's not a requirement.
No.
It is an action led by the Holy Spirit. It is God that gives life. You know, I was always asked, when people fast, they just eat without meat. Is that fasting? That's not biblical fast. That's physical fast. That's okay.
Okay,
if you want to fast that way, it's fine. Other people only eat food made with oil. Other people fast during the day, eat during the night. This is not biblical fasting. Okay? That is physical fasting, which is for health. That's fine.
Right.
You know, you want to give your body a break. It is not a sin to fast that way. But if you look at the Bible, those who fasted abstained from food and water. Okay? And God sustained them. We did not hear of any problem. And here they prayed for 3 days, and then suddenly Esther had the courage. You see, we read that in Deuteronomy. The Lord always told his people, fear not and be of good courage. Do not be afraid of their faces. I will be with you wheresoever you go. And Esther believed that. And after 3 days of prayer, trust me, the body may be weak, but the spirit is mighty strong. And she walked into the king and bowed down before the palace. And the king was surprised to see Esther. And he said, Esther, what are you doing here? You received my favor. And he reached with the scepter. Come forward. What can I do?
Wow.
The Holy Spirit changed the heart of the king completely.
Wow.
That he had such love and honor and respect to Queen Esther. And he told her, come and tell me what's going on. You can ask even half of the kingdom. I'll give it to you.
Wow.
Might and power in prayer.
Wow.
It was not just a couple minutes of prayer. It was a prayer coming from a contrite and a broken spirit. There was a very close connection between the heart and the mind. Do you see the distance there? When we pray, sometimes we pray from our mouth and it's coming from our mind rather than coming sincerely from the heart. You know, I learned the power of prayer from the heart from my own mother when we were kids. You know, I can sense after the death of my father and the great struggle she went through every day and the great suffering just to feed us a meal or two a day. I heard her prayers every morning, crying to the Lord with great tear and anguish for our safety, for our provision, mentioning all of our names, mentioning her own weaknesses and struggles, and pleading with God. That is, the heart is connected with the spirit. It's not just from the mind. The mind have the knowledge. Jesus said, out of the heart are the issues of life. So, you know, often when we talk to our closest friends, we speak from the heart. Isn't that true? We are able to express how we feel in any way possible with our friends. We make ourselves so vulnerable with our friends. We tell them about the thing that hurt us, and sometimes we shed tears in front of them. And we tell them about the thing that gives us joy, even if it is not godly. With the Lord, He said, "My son, give me your heart. Come with all of your heart. Pull down all of your pains and burdens. I will give you rest." It's a promise with assurance. And so Esther went and said, "Oh Lord, if I find favor in your heart and sight, why don't you come? I'm going to have a great dinner for you. And don't forget to bring Haman with you."
Wow.
Oh. You know, she is not fighting evil with evil. She is fighting evil with good. Mm-hmm. And so the Bible said that the king came, and she had great food prepared for him. And Haman came, and he felt so exhilarated that here is the Jewish queen honoring him next to the king. And as a matter of fact, he went to tell his wife about it, that, "Do you know that the queen invited me to eat with the king?" And after they had a great dinner, then the king asked Esther, "Now Esther, what is it that you want? You can ask half of the kingdom. I'll give it to you." He said, "King, again, if I find favor in your own heart and eyes, could you please come tomorrow again for a big banquet?" You know, the Bible doesn't tell us all the story, and I kind of pause to think, why Esther did not disclose the truth the first time?
Right.
Why didn't she? And I don't know really the answer to that question. But here, what I can see clearly, that God has given Haman another day, another chance,
right,
to save his own soul, mm-hmm, and his own family from major crisis that is coming before. Mm-hmm. He wanted to touch his heart. Here it is. She is the niece of Mordecai. She honored you. Why don't you love these people and change your mind and find a way not to kill them? I am very convicted that the Holy Spirit worked upon him that day, but the devil came to take it away. It was all about Haman. And so, the king agreed to come the next day. And I want to read chapter 7 to see what happened in this second encounter. What 3 days of prayer and fasting have done for the queen, for her uncle, and for all the people of Israel. Power in prayer. So the king and Haman came, verse 1, to banquet with Esther the queen. And the king said again unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, "What is thy petition, Queen Esther?" Imagine if Jesus is asking you that today. What is the desire of your heart? If your heart and mind is right with the Lord, and if you trust him over all, and if you have been praying, what is it that you want Jesus to do for you? "And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? And it shall be performed, even to the half of the kingdom." Then Esther the queen answered and said, "If I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request." That must have been a shock to the king. He said, "If I find favor, save my life from death." And all of us who get sick from time to time want to live, and it is absolutely perfectly acceptable to tell the Lord like Hezekiah the king. He had a tumor. The prophet Isaiah came and told him, "Sorry, you have a tumor. You're going to be dying within a few days. Get your house in order." And Hezekiah pleaded with the prophet, went to the house of God and prayed. Said, "Lord, save me. Save me from death. I would like to live a little longer." And the Lord told Isaiah, "Go back and tell Hezekiah, I have heard your prayer and supplication, and I will extend your life 15 more years." And so here the king is saying, "Ask." And she's saying, "Save my life and my people from death. I pray for my family every day. I pray for my mom, for the Lord to extend her life." Mm. And the Lord has been so faithful on his promises. So she asked him, "For we are sold," listen to this, "I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage." He said, you know, we are slaves, but slaves to be killed. We are not just sold to live and work on some fields. If that was the case, I would not have requested anything from you. But we've been sold, and we are going to die. Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, "Who is it? And where is he that darest presume in his heart to do so?" You know, this king was completely off. Because at this moment, he did not know that Esther was a Jew. You know, her previous name was Hadassah. And when they brought her to the king to be chosen for marriage, they changed her name from Hadassah to Esther. So he always thought that she was Persian. And now he is discovering the truth. And he is asking her, "Who is it that dared to do that in the whole kingdom?" Remember, he's standing right there. And Satan is standing there, always accusing us, trying to hurt us, trying to harm us, and trying to kill us, exactly the way he did to the Jews and to Job. He's standing there, and it's really our decision whom we call upon and whom we trust. Always. So the king said, "Who's this?" And Esther said, "The adversary, the enemy, is this wicked Haman." Whoa. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden. And Haman stood to make request for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. You know, the Lord promised to make our enemies our footstools.
That's right.
If we trust Jesus to fight our every battle. So now Haman is terrified to death, and he is begging Esther for his own life. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the palace of the banquet of wine. And listen to this. And Haman was fallen upon the bed whereon Esther was. Then said the king, "Will he force the queen also before me in the house?" As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. You know, the queen was lying down in her bed, as she always did. And Haman was there. He's not supposed to enter the queen's bedroom. He was actually there begging her for his life. And when the king returned, he saw that and said, "This guy went too far." Look how the Lord orchestrates events and how things to happen in certain order in order to preserve the life of his people. And if you look at the life of Joseph and Daniel, you see similar circumstances. Great crisis pending before great deliverance. It was their faith, unfeigned faith in Jesus. And you know, if you look at those stories, deliverance did not come the first day they prayed. But it was assured them. It did not come the second day. Sometime it came in a week, other time it came in years. But the promise of God sustained them through it all to prepare the heart and mind and character for the greater deliverance and the greater work God designed for their lives. I know people who are living today in their 80s, who were told that they would die of cancer at the age of 20. And they did have cancer. They're alive. Why? They trusted the God of life and they lived to tell the story. So others may also believe. And we have this story in the Bible to do the exact same thing for us. So here it is. The man is begging, and the king was very angry to see him in the bedroom. And then he said, and of course Haman was terrified because he had seen the answer in the face of the king. And then it says here that, verse 8, then the king returned out of the palace garden into the palace of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the bed wherein Esther was. Then said the king, will he force the queen also before me in the house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. And Harbana, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, behold also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman. Then the king said, hang him thereon. Haman also had big gallows there to hang Mordecai on it in his own home, to get rid of Mordecai, because the king had given him all the authority. And the Lord saved the day and saved the life of Mordecai. And here's a chamberlain who is not a Jew. He's Persian, whom the Holy Spirit moved upon to inform the king that Haman also have something else in his house. And the king decided, take him and hang him on it. He that digs a hole for his own brother will fall into it.
That's true.
He said, God is not mocked. What a man seed, the very same shall a man reap. The major difference in this equation, that regardless of what we have seeded throughout our lives, if we come to Jesus just as we are, he is still the one and only Savior. That's where the miracle of love is. And so he told them, go and hang him on it. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. What is so amazing, that was the beginning of one glorious event after another because of 3 days of prayer and fasting. Now, no one can really pray and fast on your behalf unless you are unable to pray and fast. Many people want a quick fix to their own problems. They look at others, whether family members, friends, employers, employee, teachers, doctors, nurses, lawyers, they always look at someone else to give them a quick fix. Our only fix is in heaven. And God is willing and able to pour his Spirit upon us, but we have to request it. Because when we don't, the devil will come and take stronger hold of our heart, our mind, our bodies, and life. I'm going to repeat this again. When we choose not to call upon the name of the Lord, there is no question, and I meet with atheists all the time, whenever I ask them the question, let us put the issue of religion and faith in God aside. I just want to ask you general questions. I said, okay. I said, do you believe that evil exists before your very eyes every day? When you read the newspaper, look at the news, and look at what's happening in your family and in your neighborhood. Not one said no. Evil exists. And I said, are things getting better or worse? They also acknowledge it's getting worse. I said, is there also goodness in the world somewhere? They also acknowledge, yeah, there are some good people still. I say, so now you are fully acknowledging that there is good and evil at war every day. He said, yes. I said, which side are you on? That's your choice. If you believe in you, there is enough, whatever you call it, belief and faith and knowledge to save you from all of your evil, and the evil in the world, continue. There is no contention. There is no argument. Continue. But if you believe that there is an author of evil and an author of goodness, you may want to give that a try. It doesn't cost you anything. But the absence thereof cost you. I'm very grateful to say that I met many atheists on their deathbed. And I'm thankful to say that many of them have decided to give Jesus the chance. When introduced right with love and care, and in truth, I also leave. I can pray with you. It's not going to cost you anything. If it didn't work, you have a reason not to believe. But you know, also what is sad, that happened recently. I entered a place in ICU. I introduced myself as Abraham, one of the chaplain in the hospital, and the patient, who was about 67, 68 years old, said, "I'm sorry, I'm not a believer in God." And you can tell, lots of anger, lots of fears, lots of absence of peace, and his wife was the same. He said, "Honey, he's not going to be talking to any ministers." God loves and cares for his people, even those whom do not believe in him. Till the last breath of their life, he tried to give them another chance. It is our decisions. It is not going to be the decision of Jesus. It is our final decisions, whether to believe on him or not to believe on him. So what happened after Mordecai is gone? Read the rest of the story, because I no longer have the time. Read chapter 8 all the way to 12. Glorious events have unfolded because of 3 days of prayer and fasting. Next, the king is looking and he said, "Who's that man who saved me from a plot?" They tell him it is Mordecai. And he said, "Bring Mordecai in." And Mordecai become the second most powerful man in the kingdom of Persia. And the king decide, "All right, Mordecai, come in. Him and his gun. I'm going to give Esther control over all of his household. Wow. And I'm going to give you control over all the kingdom. And here is my seal. Find an answer to the trouble that he had created." You know, in Medo-Persia, once a seal is done, a king cannot change it. So now, it is still determined on a certain day that all of these Jews in all the provinces will be destroyed. So the Lord inspired Mordecai to come with a counter plan. The king said, "Here is my seal. I trust you and your God. Whatever you do is good for me. Esther, do you need anything else?" And so Mordecai came with a plan, and he said, you know, on that day determined to destroy the Jews, the king gives all the Jews the power to prepare themselves and to gather all the weapons and to defend themselves on that day. And the Bible tells us that God has placed fear in the heart of all of the enemies of God's people. And on that day, when it was determined for all the Jews to be slaughtered, none of them died, and 75,000 people among the heathen died because they wanted to go and kill the Jews. Things flipped, isn't it? Completely changed. Those who were supposed to die lived. And those who thought they were live, died. Yeah. And then the most glorious thing, Esther the queen did not forget who was the author of this great deliverance. Wow. She called Mordecai in and she said, "Make it a decree for all the Jews to spare the 14th and the 15th day of the month of Adar as a celebration." It's called Purim. Mm. As a celebration of how God delivered us from the plot to be destroyed. And up till now, the Jews are keeping those days.
And what month is this?
I believe, I need to kind of check on that. I believe it's the month of March, but I am not sure. I need to look at the Jewish calendar and its correspondence. Either March or January, but I need to make sure of that. I am not sure.
I have a question. What's gallows?
Gallows means hand chimpers. Oh, okay. Like a tree hanging loose with a robe.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for asking. So that's what happened. And then indeed, all the Jews celebrated the deliverance of the Lord
on that very day. And you know, many people have such encounters with the Lord Jesus today. Certain days and certain events of the year, it is not what the world tells us, our birthdays. You know, there's no birthdays in the Bible. There is no birth in the Bible. The day that I have decided to give my heart and mind and soul and my life, past, present, and to come to the Lord Jesus, that's a day to remember.
What year was that?
That's private now. You know, every event that happens in our life should set a benchmark. And people of Israel did not just remember dates, but remember places. Like Mizpah. And they built an altar in that place where God had delivered them. That is building a personal relationship with Jesus that bring about glories after glories and miracles after miracles. So what are our conflicts, our concerns, our wants and needs and desires today? What I want to encourage us to do, and I do that myself, and I want to encourage you to experience that, there are great merits and power in praying for 3 days and for 7 days for things of great concerns. You know, naturally, for me, if I am facing some very difficult problem, I lose my appetite anyway. I don't eat. Who I am. If I am very concerned and it's really getting to my stomach, and sometimes it does, so I fast naturally. But when I pray and pray and pray, I feel the power of heaven sustaining me, and I see the clouds being rolled away, and I see the light of His glory, and then I see the answer pending, and my appetite comes back. So really, our lives is determined by our faith. Either it is in God who created us, knows everything about us, in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Holy Savior, who is able to save us from our every known and unknown sin and to lift the curse of sin, or our faith remain in ourselves and in others, whoever these others may be, or in things. When Jesus is Lord over all, then He pick others. I have prayed for people who are going through severe surgeries. And I always pray for the Lord to elect the physicians after His own heart. And I have seen it. I hear from the individual said, my surgery is postponed. The doctors and the team who are supposed to do it will no longer be available, so another team is going to be running the surgery tomorrow. Did you see that? Absolutely, because it is the Spirit of God that controls the events of God's people. And there are no events that is too powerful for God. So if you would like to experience that same power that Esther and Mordecai and the people of Israel experienced, spend time in prayer. And that is the reason why Jesus said, pray without ceasing. It's a joy to pray. There is power in prayer. May the Holy Spirit help us recognize that God loves us the way we are. We cannot make any changes in ourselves. Actually, we can make it worse if we try to do it on our own. But if we trust Jesus to take over our every concern and burden, He loves us. And I want to read those promises that were given in the book of Psalms, chapter 91. You can claim those promises as you pray. It works for every saint, for every troubled heart believer in the Bible, throughout the history of the Bible, in Old and New Testament. It worked for David. It worked for Moses. It worked for Hezekiah. It worked for Nehemiah. It worked for all of the saints in the New Testament. And it is still true today. Psalms 91. Here are the promises of God for you and me today.
and verse 14. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him and her my salvation. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand together before the Lord. Our God, you have created the marvelous things in heaven. You have created all things on earth and at sea. You have created all of us. You have known us before you placed us into our mother's womb. Lord, we acknowledge that we have gone astray in one way or another, and we still struggle today. We can never trust ourselves or anybody else on this earth to save us, to redeem us, to heal us, to fight our every battle, and to deliver us but you, Jesus. We give you our lives, all of our troubles and concerns, with thanksgiving in our heart, for accepting to be our God, our Savior and Redeemer, Physician and Healer, our Provider, our breath of life, our longevity on earth, and our gift of life eternal. This is our faith. This is our trust. This is our petition. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.